This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Our guest on today's This Week in America, world-renowned celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson, hosts the PBS series No Passport Required, a series that celebrates this country's diverse cultural mosaic, taking viewers to underexplored parts of American cities to showcase the people, places, and cuisine of immigrant communities. Along the way, sampling some of the best food hidden away in these burgs. Each week, Marcus visits a new city to discover the dynamic and creative ways a particular immigrant community has made its mark. This wide-ranging diversity of immigrant traditions and cuisines woven into the American food culture. No Passport Required host executive producer Marcus Samuelson next on This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's a vibrant portrait of America today. No Passport Required. PBS's hit series returning for season two, Mondays, 9 Eastern Pacific, celebrating the wide-ranging diversity of immigrant traditions and cuisines woven into American food and culture. Each week, chef and host Marcus Samuelson visits a different American city to learn more about how a particular immigrant community has influenced the area it now calls home. Marcus, an immigrant himself, was born in Ethiopia, raised in Sweden, now a celebrated chef, restaurant owner, philanthropist, best-selling author, and resident of Harlem, the youngest chef to receive a three-star review from the New York Times, named Best Chef New York City by the James Beard Foundation, regular guest on many TV shows, The Today Show, Top Chef, Iron Chef America, Chopped, and others, and in 2010, defeated 21 world-renowned chefs to win Bravo's Top Chef Masters show, numerous bestsellers, host and executive producer of No Passport Required, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific on PBS, Marcus Samuelson back with us on This Week in America. Marcus, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Exciting to be on, yeah.
Well, really looking forward to season two. And this is so much more than about food and chefs, isn't it? It really is a rare look into numerous immigrant communities here in the country.
Yeah, I mean, being an immigrant myself, and I really feel fortunate to be able to share and share the stories of immigrants. You know, it's not a monolithic tale. We're a nation of immigrants, and food is such a great way of discover or rediscover each other's food. And, you know, at No Passport Required, we go to six magical cities and look at six different immigrant communities, you know, from Vegas, Las Vegas, to the Chinese American community to Seattle and Filipino culture and Los Angeles. This tonight, we're going to Los Angeles and looking at take a deeper look at the Armenian community, for example, just to mention some. And it is delicious and it's amazing. And you know, I think that through food, it's one of the best way of learning about another's culture.
You know, it really is. And let's talk about this passion you have. As I say, it's not just a food show. You get to share this this passion you have celebrating the food of America's vibrant communities, six new ones this season. Talk about how important this is for you to be able to do this and put the spotlight on the immigrant communities and what they're doing and how proud they are to be in these communities.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not a, you can't look at just the food. Like there's a journey on why did somebody leave everything behind and come to this country? And what are the things when you leave somewhere, what are the things that you hold on to? What are the things that you're willing to compromise on? And food is one of these things that very often the rituals, the recipes are, you know, most of the time older than America. And Armenian community is an example of that. This is, being Armenian, Armenia as a country is not that big, but as a culture is extremely rich and big. You know, it could be Persian Armenian, Turkish Armenian, Lebanese, or Soviet Armenian. And yet, you set up shop in Glendale or in East Hollywood and holding on to a tradition. And so many immigrants can really relate to that. Or Italian American in Philadelphia, you know. You don't think about it today, but most Italians who came were really, really poor. And how are they kept on and hold on to their tradition? They get a chance to sit down with Ralph's restaurant that's been open for 120 years to meeting a younger businesses. But it's really about doing this, opening an eye for the viewer about how many cultures can be in the city. What is a surprise element? And next time you go to one of these cities, you know, hopefully you stop by and eat in one of these places because they're very special and they're amazing people behind them.
We said something that's very interesting, and you've talked about this. Borders can change, but rituals don't. And this really has helped. I know in Los Angeles, when you're talking about the Armenian community, food really helped these people survive there, didn't it?
Food is very often the first job or the first industry that opens up the door, right? But also what it does is also explain, it creates a bridge for that customer that may not come from this culture, or it creates a sense of comfort for the person that has left and doesn't have access to that food, or a bridge for third or fourth generation that maybe don't know how to do this anymore. Do you know what I mean? So, so it's really such a strong bridge builder, an important part of holding on to tradition. In all the episode, we see how the older generation and the younger generation actually working together, whether the kids are on Instagram and open a secret restaurant in the parents' backyard, like you watch here in the Armenian community, or it's holding on to a tradition like a kebab and families working together, for example. In Houston, there's also so many surprises. In Houston, we take a look at the West African community, and a lot of people didn't know that Houston is one of the most diverse cities in America. Might not be the first thing you think about when you think about Texas. But how have the Nigerian kept on to their traditions and their food in Houston? In Las Vegas, of course, everyone knows about Las Vegas, but it's really learning it through the Chinese-American experience is very different. It's not on the Strip. It's about 10 minutes away from the Strip. There's a booming Chinatown. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about Chinese diverse American community, right? And the food takes a different path, and it's very, very interesting.
With us on This Week in America, world-renowned celebrity chef and best-selling author Marcus Samuelson. He hosts, executive produced, No Passport Required, back on PBS for a second season, Mondays 9 Eastern and Pacific. It's interesting, the program has been described as you actually explain and explore. And I want to talk about that because you do an explanation. This is the largest in L.A., Armenian community outside of their homeland. They went through a lot, and you give us a history. We will never look at these cities and these communities the same way again after watching No Passport Required. Talk about the importance of not just talking about what food they like and share, but who these people are.
Yeah, I mean, a big city like Los Angeles can be intimidating. Where should I go? And
yes.
and without having some guidance, you know, and in Los Angeles and LA Town, you know, have this amazing writer, Jonathan Gold, right, rest in peace, that really opened the door up for the rest of Los Angeles and where to go, and very often in different communities. And so I'm a huge Jonathan Gold fan, and so to be able to just tell stories and invite people in to not just what it says on the storefront, but what is the traditions and how did they get here and what did they keep on, and was it difficult in the beginning not getting the same ingredients, and what are the compromises they did, and who did they share this with? Other immigrant communities very often, right? So it's really a story about identity, culture, and lots of great eating, and that's really what I want to come across. And I think PBS and Vox did such a good job of sharing that, and be committed to tell a deeper story, because it is something that we, especially in this day and age when we're so divided, diversity is actually something we should hold on to. It's actually what makes our country so different and so special.
Well, you have a way of humanizing the conversation. These are not just numbers we're talking about. These are people.
No,
you were one of these people that came here as well. That has to, for you, be very rewarding, that you can put a name and a face to these people and maybe lessen the rhetoric a little bit, the hostility in the country sometimes.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, definitely when you are an immigrant like myself, and I can really relate to that experience of saying, hey, let me try this out in America instead. And sometimes the why, you don't even know what you're getting into, but you're willing to sacrifice and work hard. And then when you come in and you realize you share that with so many other, but it is a story of humans. It's a story of people working together. It's a story of celebrating work ethic and love for this country. And very often food, music, art are some of the best ways to share an experience and create memories and soften the differences that they
yes.
very often have, and we realize we're just humans after all.
Well, talk about the power of breaking bread. So often on the news, we'll see somebody talking to an immigrant in a particular community. It's maybe 90 seconds. They're in a crowd, and you really don't get a chance to know them. You're sitting there. You're not only in the local restaurants, markets. You're in the family homes, and you're sitting there with in often multi-generational homes, sitting there at the
yeah.
table sharing food. That gives you a real insight into the person you're there with, doesn't it?
It does, and it reminds me how I grew up. You know, my grandmother was the cook in the family, and we sat with my cousins and with my aunties, and we ate together, and we discussed how she was making meatballs that were different than how maybe my mom was making them. And same thing in Ethiopia, where my birth country, you eat collectively as a family, and it's a big family, and you share stories. And you know, many things have changed in the world, but that idea about identity, who we are, how do we eat, how do we cook, hasn't changed that much. And it's important to hold on to, because it makes us unique. It makes us find our differences, but also makes us find our similarities. And to evoke that and have people today, anything we can do today to bridge the gap in terms of differences with people, but also saying it's okay to do something different, right?
Yes.
Our food smells this way and yours smells that way, and that's okay. We're one country, but we have different ways to go about our traditions.
What has this done for you? What, from a chef standpoint, you're often in the kitchen, maybe with the mother, maybe a grandmother, and they probably go, okay, this hot shot chef is coming in. I'm going to tell him how to make this dish my way. From a chef standpoint, do you learn something when you're in the kitchens with them?
I learned so much, because this is not food that very often that I grew up with. It is also not food that's taught in cooking schools, or very often doesn't exist in restaurants. So to be able to cook real home cooking, or even ways to eat. Like when I'm in Houston, I'm learning how to eat with my bare hands and with fufu and a fish stew. And that's also extremely rewarding to me too. It's not just a cooking way sometimes. It's very often, how does one eat this? And that's what makes it unique. And it's a lot of humility, you know. I'm a fan of all kinds of food, and I'm curious. My curiosity is what got me to this country. It got me, you know, to learn about other cultures. So when you feed your own curiosity and hopefully share that with others, you know you're onto something good.
A minute or so left in the program. You mentioned Las Vegas a couple of times with the Chinese food there. Other traditions you get into with the herbal medicine and the tea. So we really get a broad perspective of what we can find in these diverse communities.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese culture is so, I mean, it's such a rich culture and beautiful. But, you know, there's also a level of surprise. For example, when we go to Boston, we look at Portuguese, Brazilian, and Cape Verdean. What is the overlap? What do these three communities have together? And what makes them stand apart, you know? And I had one of my favorite meals with a Portuguese the fishing crew on the boat. You know, it was freezing, but it was really good. This beautiful Portuguese stew, fish stew. You know, and it's something that in every city there's been so many surprises, but also so many shared stories. And I found myself really lucky to be able to be part of a show like this, because it's so much who I am. And I hope that the viewer will enjoy it. And also when they come to these cities, visit these places and tell them that you saw it on those passports, because they were really... They want to hear from you. They want to see you in their restaurant.
I'm going to take 30 seconds here, because something that struck out as I'm watching season one is the immigrant communities you talk to are really patriotic. They want to work hard. They want to give something back to the communities and this country that gave them these opportunities. That really comes across in the programs, and that's obviously so true with the communities that you visit.
Oh, no, absolutely. The work ethic, the love for the family, love for country comes through. It will be a different accent. It will be a very personal take on it.
Yes.
But America is this big beacon of hope for people around the world, and that's why people leave everything behind to come here and to add value. And they're super patriotic. And, you know, I feel very positive when after I've done the season, because it really gets me out in the country and see a new perspective, and I'm really grateful for that. And we, yes, there's a lot of issues, but you know what? We're also pretty special, and a show like this hopefully can bring us together over dinner, over some great food, and I hope you get a chance to check out No Passport Required, 9 o'clock today on PBS.
Yep, back season two every Monday, 9 Eastern Pacific. Marcus Samuelson does an excellent job as host, executive producer in presenting this. The program, once again, is No Passport Required. Marcus, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? they can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. September 1996, the groundbreaking preschool series Blue's Clues premiered to critical praise, creating a more interactive way for kids to watch TV, becoming one of the most popular preschool shows of all time. And now, Blue and her crew are back in the new Nickelodeon series, Blue's Clues and You, featuring a new live-action host, Josh, who was inspired, by the way, by the original series to be an actor. Nickelodeon's executive vice president of talent calls Josh the perfect choice. Considered a triple threat, Josh appeared in Disney's Broadway production of Aladdin as the understudy for Aladdin and a member of the ensemble. Other notable theater credits, TV roles in Bull and Time After Time. His debut as a TV series regular, Josh Dela Cruz, new host, Nickelodeon's brand new preschool series, Blue's Clues and You, premiering Monday, November 11th, 1 Eastern Pacific. And Josh with us on This Week in America. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the program.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, Rick.
Well, America is so happy. Blue's Clues is going to be back. And I mentioned that this is sort of the impetus you had to become an actor. You find out Blue's Clues is coming back. Your agent gets you an audition. What was it like when you actually walked into that audition, realizing this is a TV series that was so instrumental in my life?
You know, it's so funny because at that point, I had been a working actor for a while, and you go into a lot of auditions, and you know, you can't really put all your money on one horse. So you just kind of go in as a regular audition, and I had worked on the sides with my cast at Aladdin because we're like family. And we were going back and forth, reminiscing and remembering, like, oh, remember when Steve did this? And remember, oh, my, the male song? Oh, yeah. And we'd all start singing the male song. And, you know, it's difficult not to get excited when you go into an audition, when it's something that you care about and something that was such a huge part of your childhood. Because I used to watch the show with my little sister. You know, you try not to get excited going in to an audition because you're – It never goes well when you do. So I went in, I did my best, and I didn't hear back for a month. And a month later, I just assumed that I hadn't got it. You know, it was a bummer. And then all of a sudden, a month later, I get an email from my agent saying, yeah, I guess this is still happening. You have a callback. Oh, okay, great. I go in. This time it's a table full of producers and our creators, Angela Santomero and Tracy Page Johnson, who also happens to be the voice of Blue in the original series and will be reprising her role in our series. And that went well. My agent sends me another email. You got another callback. And by the way, here's this video. It's a video that Nickelodeon put out, the search for the next Blue's Clues host. And in the video, I find out that they had auditioned over 3,000 people at this point. And I was like, oh, okay. That explains the month. And after going in, I would get more and more excited, trying to manage my excitement so that I could just go in and focus on the work and focus on the home viewer at home. And every time I came home after an audition, I said to myself, this is the thing that you're waiting for. This is the one. I hope I get it. And, you know, I'm just so fortunate to be part of this show.
What an emotionally draining process you went through to get the role. And,
oh, yeah.
And you have it now, and everybody is waiting, including parents, because this was a hit with toddlers, with young children, as well as, we'll admit it, adults as well. Some of the favorite characters are coming back. Who all is coming back? And then we'll talk about all these exciting brand-new elements you have.
Yeah, so all of our characters are coming back. We have Blue, and we have Magenta. We have Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper. We have the Shaker family is growing, so our viewers can look forward to that, of a growing family. And more importantly, in our first episode, Steve Burns and Donovan Patton will be in our show as Steve and Joe, passing on the torch, teaching me how to play Blue's Clues. That way I'm learning with our home viewer, our first game of Blue's Clues ever. So it's really, really exciting.
Talk about, with some of the new aspect, this series has been known for its interactivity. You're really taking it to a different level, aren't you, with some of the new elements and refreshing some of those favorites that we grew to love a couple of years ago when the series was so popular.
Yeah, well, so Blue is back, obviously, but because it's 2019, almost 2020 at this point, she is CG. She's a 3D puppy. She's cuter. She's fluffy. She has fur, which is something that she didn't have in the original show. And our amazing team at Nine Story is able to animate her face and create such nuance in her performance so that any comedic thing that I throw up there is just amplified by her comedic timing and her reaction. So it's just so exciting to have a much more dynamic Blue in Blue's Clues and You. And as everyone remembers that has watched the show, there is the handy dandy notebook. That's all my sister wanted when she was for her birthday when she was little, was a handy dandy notebook. But this time around, the handy dandy notebook is also a smartphone. So now we have apps. We can get emails. We get video letters, video calls, so we can see Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper calling us from the kitchen to come over, while never losing the iconic notebook with the yellow pages and the crayon and the tactile functionality of drawing a clue and remembering it. So it's really, really exciting.
I got about a minute left. Talk about what this means to you to do this series from the aspect that you grew up, you were shaped by this program, by Steve and watching the program. Now you're going to have a whole new generation out there that will be shaped by you and this program, including a lot of you mentioned your nephews will grow up watching you as you were watching Steve. What's this like to be shaping a generation out there?
I'm just so honored to be given the opportunity and the responsibility to be part of this show. If there's anything that I would like kids to take away, aside from the amazing academic tools that they're going to be taking with them, is that it's okay to be silly and it's okay to make mistakes, because we'll learn from our mistakes and we'll get it on the next time. And as long as we work hard and continue to be kind, the world will open up and we'll be able to see the fun in life. So that's what I hope that kids can take away.
We're talking about the all-new Blue's Clues and You, the new host Josh, joining us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.